Good morning, everyone. I wonder whether during this week you have any of these thoughts have gone across your head or your heart. I wonder whether you have found yourself thinking, oh my goodness, the world is in such a mess. The problems seem to be so enormous. I just can't get my head around it. And, you know, where is there some power big enough to sort stuff out? Anybody thought that? Or you may have thought, I really want to pray about all this big stuff. But I mean, how do you start praying about all this stuff? It's utterly overwhelming. I'm tongue-tied. I mean, how do you pray? Anybody thought that? Or I think sometimes we can do the opposite of that and think there are such huge things going on in the world, such enormous concerns. I probably honestly can't pray about my left toe, despite the fact that it's incredibly painful every step. It's so small, God really can't possibly be interested in the small things in my life. The wonderful thing is that from today's passage, we have God's truth utterly relevant to all that thinking. It's the stuff that we go through in our minds so often, isn't it? And here in the Word of God, wonderfully, God reaches out and gives us truth which we can grab when those sort of thoughts are going through our heads. So let's pray as I start. Lord Jesus, I want to pray, as this passage does, that the eyes of our hearts may be opened to all that you have won for us. And Lord, we want to discover something this morning of who you are, of your incomparably great power, and of your closeness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, how strong is it? Well, come and see for yourself. Bishop Tom Wright tells of being invited by a friend of his to come and have a little look through his telescope. The friend lived in a house which is on the edge of the channel, and he had set up his new telescope in an upstairs room, and the two of them were upstairs having a little look out at the channel, and Tom had been looking out at the boats that he could see through his own pair of binoculars, and he had been able to see a couple of boats in a blurry sort of way out on the channel, and nearer in a few fishing boats bobbing about. And then he was invited to go and have a little look through the telescope. Oh my goodness, it was absolutely stunning. Suddenly, not only could he see the two boats in general terms, he could even see the names of them written on the sides. He could see individual people walking along the deck. He could see the fishing boats, obviously, you know, every detail of them. But even beyond the big boats, way out in the channel, he could see military, he could see commercial, he could see all sorts of shipping, even a big cruise liner. It was absolutely phenomenal, the power of vision that the telescope gave him. And that is a good little metaphor, perhaps, for us, for what Paul is talking about when in verse 18 of our passage he says that the eyes of your hearts might be enlightened, or another translation calls it the eyes of your inmost self. Most of the time, I think, probably it's fair to say, we are only dimly aware of what is going on in the heavenly realms. We have our own not very high-powered version of binoculars, perhaps. Or perhaps it's just that we cast a vague eye out of the window towards the heavenly realms. And in that metaphor, that would be looking vaguely out towards the channel and seeing the occasional boat bobbing about. But in this passage, Paul is inviting us to make the most of a new power that God makes available to those of us who believe. He can, like that telescope, enable us to see spiritual things which are otherwise invisible to our merely human selves. Indeed, I don't think most of us are that alert to heavenly realities most of the time, because frankly, we're busy with our immediate, everyday lives. So, as Rick said, we're continuing today with our sermon series on Jesus, and we have come to this glorious truth that God raised Jesus to sit at his right hand in heaven. But being honest, is that a truth that you think about much? Does it feel relevant to you most of the time? Continuing with that idea of the house on the edge of the channel, before the guy got the telescope, I wonder how much they spent time looking out of their window. I bet that that family lived a busy, normal life. They cleared and they cooked and they ironed and they slept and they chatted and everything else, and they didn't look out at the channel and shipping all that much. But once they got the telescope and they could see it clearly, I've no doubt it became absolutely fascinating. I bet they whizzed into that room all the time to see what manoeuvres were going on out in the channel. And in the same way, God wants to sharpen our spiritual sight. And then there is continual revelation. Oh, that's what God's doing. We see beyond the merely human, oh, well, I can see he was upset, or we see beyond the emotional, the rational, the practical, and we can see far further, and we begin to get an understanding of the spiritual. And I know that some of us have been increasingly experiencing that for ourselves. It's really exciting when it happens. But I think that in the natural, so to speak, Jesus being on a throne next to his heavenly Father feels like the appropriate end to the story, doesn't it? Jesus came from heaven. He was obedient and extraordinarily humble, and he lived a human life. He died a terrible death. He was raised from death on Easter Sunday, and he is now back where he should be. He is God, he's in heaven, and that's just right. It's a truth, probably, that we all accept. But for many of us, it can feel like a sort of far away truth, across the channel at least. And it doesn't relate to my everyday life. I wonder whether it's about there in your mind. It has been in mine too. But if that's the case, we are missing out on truths that are really relevant for our lives. But first, let's just acknowledge that we are talking of a truth that is beyond our vocabulary to express. Jesus is in the greatest possible place of honour, on his Father's right, in regal companionship. In a place, the passage says, above all rule and authority and power and lordship, and above every name that can be given, either now or at any time in the future, God has placed all things under his feet and made him head over everything. Do you sometimes try to picture him up on his throne? The shine of him, the glory of him, the majesty of him. We little temporary beings can hardly raise our eyes to that radiance, but if we do, all we can do is worship. He is our awe-inspiring God. And Paul wants us to realise that the phenomenal power which raised Jesus from the dead and then raised him from earth to this throne of his in heaven is available to us. He calls it his incomparably great power for us who believe. So, why peer short-sightedly out of your window, barely able to see the first wave on the channel, so to speak, when God's new power of sight enables you to marvel at huge vistas and be part of his glorious creation. Our vision is too small. I wonder if that's why the old hymn says, "You are coming to a king, great petitions with you bring." Jesus says we don't receive because we don't ask. Perhaps we think our particular need is too big for him. Will our grief or our doubt or our confusion perhaps overwhelm him? Of course not. He is the God who flung stars into space and made the cosmos. He is the one in whom resurrection power worked so mightily that his mangled, crucified body came back to glorious life. You can't have too high a vision of Jesus. All of us can adopt this prayer of Paul's and make it personal. And I think that helps us to grasp it. Why not pray, "Please give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I might know Jesus better. May the eyes of my inmost self be open to God's light so that I can know the outstanding greatness of his power." God loves answering that sort of prayer. What loving parent doesn't revel in deeper relationship with an adored child? As we pray that prayer, we will discover he is more. He is more powerful, more loving, more creative, more worthy of worship, more utterly glorious than we had ever dreamt of before. Paradoxically, while we probably all need to gain a far bigger vision of Jesus and his life in God, we also need to discover that he is much closer than we think. So he is both this glorious, if you like, far away God up in heavenly realms, the one who dazzles us and amazes us, but also the one that we can turn to who is close to us. Far from Jesus being a God who is sitting on a cloud, is that the picture you had in your mind when you were a child? Jesus is one of us in heaven. It's an extraordinary thought and not blasphemous to say there is a man in heaven, seated at God's right hand, the Son of Man, because he is both holy God and holy man. Hebrews 4 helps us here. Jesus, it says, is a great high priest who has gone through the heavens and is able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he was tempted in every way, that's while he was here, living our human life, just as we are tempted, yet without sin. So the emphasis there is on Jesus' human experience. He lived our human life with all its troubles, with all its opportunities and temptations. So in heaven, now, there is one we can fully identify with, and one who can fully identify with us. What's more, Hebrews goes on to say that Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus is praying for you right now. And he is right by the Father's side as he does it. You don't have the words, perhaps. You feel tongue-tied when you pray. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is your advocate, your barrister. He is speaking to the Father on your behalf, making your case. Because he understands what you go through, he has lived this life, and he is full of compassion and love. And he is the one representing you to your Father in heaven. I have an app on my phone, I think quite a lot of us do, which is called Lectio 365, and it gives the basics of about 10 minutes or so, or devotional content, looking at a psalm and another passage, and leading in prayer each day. I find it an enormous blessing. And yesterday, as it happened, there was a quote from a great divine called Murray McChain, where he said, "If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me." Now, this is one of those truths that is immediately relevant to us, because our fears are extinguished if we fully register that Jesus is praying for us. Talk to your advocate. Tell him your concerns. He's in the perfect position at the Father's right hand to deal with every one of them. So remembering what I started with, those thoughts that may have been going through your head this week. Maybe that the world is in such a mess that you long for a great power to whom to bring it all. We have seen that Jesus is that glorious Lord. Nothing that you bring to him, nothing that is going on, nothing that feels overwhelming to you overwhelms him. Or maybe you have thought, I've no idea how to pray about all this mess and confusion and hugeness and bring the weight of the world to him in prayer. You have an advocate, you have a barrister, you have that voice that speaks to the Heavenly Father on your behalf. And similarly, if you think that your concerns are too small and you think, well, I'm just doing little tiny practical stuff in my life, really. It's all about sprouts and bandages and going shopping and looking at the budget. It's all very basic stuff. I can't imagine how I could pray about that. Jesus lived a practical life here with dirty feet and upset women and a hungry stomach. He knows what you're going through. And so in this one passage, we have the answers to the yearnings of our heart. Be encouraged by where Jesus is and what a difference his place at the right hand of the Father makes to all of us who believe in him. He is at one and the same time beyond all expression of love and worship and praise, and yet so close, so compassionate, so available. So let's allow the Spirit of God to open our eyes a bit more today. Shall we step up to that telescope and see what more we can see of him through what he's provided in his power? Because I expect that all of us have a vision of Jesus which is neither big enough nor close enough. We have lots more to discover of him. So as I pray now, I'm going to use the words that come directly from the passage, and let's make them our own, shall we? Father God, please would you give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I may know Jesus better. May the eyes of my inmost self be open to God's light so that I can know the outstanding greatness of his power and your glory on the throne. And may I know you close to me, Lord Jesus, so that I can whisper my needs and concerns to you and know that you will pray for me. I ask it in your loving name. Amen.